This is a very special night. Tonight I'm breaking my open mic virginity. And you have to make apologies for my flu because I'm a bit fluey and I'm fairly contagious. I put a condom on the mic as well. But because I'm losing my virginity tonight, I'm going to take advantage of you and all of your understanding. I'm going to give 3 quick poems. The first one is a 5-word poem, since you liked it so much, and I've written it out so I can actually read it properly. And the second two are kind of poems that I've been kind of doing for the last 5 or 6 years. But anyway, this is the one I know you like, so I'm going to start with that. To Arthur, meet Bollocks. It's advertising gold. The whole of the bleeding country selling out their liver souls. It's a quasi-Diageo holiday celebrating piss and vomit and shit. And the one before Christy Moore, he's having a fettin' fit. He is, you know. Anyone there for the last few pints there now? It's our heritage, you know, and it gives him assistance employment. But so does this culture night, but with much, much more enjoyment. Like Paddy's Day, the brutal hordes on a rake of pints they gorge. You wouldn't find it in Crosshaven. That's right, you wouldn't, George. So if next week you find yourself out upon the town, step lightly over the rivulets, knock a bam and Lizzie's crown. Go home to your bed, don't wreck your head, safely in your cot. I'm not saying join the pioneers, just the Artist Day boycott. I suppose for the benefit of the tape, I should say any resemblance to individuals living or preferably dead is purely coincidental. And I want you to join in. You'll realise what the chorus is. It's called The Ballad of Nama. And it's got 78 million verses, but I'll only give you 4 or so. Was in the year of 2009, Nama came into being. Sure, I needn't have to tell you, it was the worst heist ever seen. It was the ruin of our nation's reputation. Sure, kids, grandkids will pay for generations. Well, Shawnee is a bastard, Anglo is a puck, and Brian Cam's the bollocks that let them off the hook. Then there was Bill Berkey and Paddy the Plaster too. They bent the country over and they had their mighty screw. The Galway tent flushes all down the jacks, and now we're their bog roll, wiping with our tax. Well, Shawnee is a bastard, Anglo is a pup, and Brian counts the bollocks that let them off the hook. In Europe, Anglants are cosy, shoving our ship down our necks called austerity. Fucking up Greece and Spain, and the pigs up the arse, inflating the bubble, that is the Euro farce. Well, Shawnee is a bastard, Anglo is a pup, and Brian counts the bollocks that let them off the hook. No turf in the grate, a nation dying of cold, rat hospitals and schools wouldn't want to be sick, you're old. Wallowing on jaws, we're stacking the nation, national shame. If you're under the age of 80, get on a fucking plane. Well, Shawnee is a bastard, Anglo is a pup, and Brian counts the bollocks that let them off the hook. Shawnee is a bastard, Anglo is a pup, and Brian counts the bollocks that let them off the hook. This is the last one. A quick note on libel. Libel or defamation is when you make somebody's reputation below what society thinks of them already. And sure, if you're a wanker, you're a wanker. So here's a medley from Neil Prendeville, the musical. Lots of cocaine, you're a fan plus. Snake in the hand, their hostess blush. Can't help loving that palm of mine. Oh, wrap the car around me, boy. Disgrace now complete. My only mistake, Willie, was to book a front row seat. Mounds of cocaine and Eurofen plus. I still don't quite understand why all the fuss or the levels of disbelief, because I opted for in-flight relief. I don't mean to cause offence with my excesses, like whipping my cock out in front of hostesses, but these are a few of my favourite things. When the doors closed and they're cross-checked and we're off at last, I follow the engine's lead and I go all the way, full blast. Apologies for my voice.
it's usually the next man's job to lower the tone. But it's as low as it's going to get. So it's perfect time for Joe's win. Joe!
Oh, I disassociate myself with that remark. I'm here to heighten the spirits. I'm going to read two short poems, and they're from the five-word challenge that is run over the year in Mobile. And the five words for the first one were south, ale, tangent, review, and interval. What a challenge. So this is called South to a Warmer Place. It is winter in Denmark, in a riverside bar, an old cold Dane sits. I should have gone south to a warmer place. And the brief intervals between ales and wines and spirits, the old bachelor reviews his life. Thoughts blow in, drift through his mind with the snow outside. I should have gone south to a warmer place. A man with an accordion in the corner breaks out into song for weekend tourists. Wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen. The old man orders another drink, raises his eyes to the bartender. I should have gone south to a warmer place. That's number one. And the second one, the five words were house, flame, mirror, horse, and flamboyant. And the title is Flame. At the heart of the flame, the truth is burning. Inside the autumn house, a shadow turning. With a candle in a mirror, a painting of a horseman, a huntsman in flamboyant red above a kill, casting a cold eye on life and death. The moon is drifting, the season turning. Deep within the flame, the truth is burning. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Next is James O'Leary.
Hello. I have three short poems. The first one is called It Gazes Back. I'm a closeted optimist. One day I'll come out to my friends and family as hopeful. I can imagine it now. This isn't how we raised you, honey. Joyful acts are so unnatural. Please, don't tell your father. He wouldn't understand. All he knows is brooding. I tried to tell them they are not their mistakes. They are not their mistakes either. Oh, and help was on offer from the one more invasive than family, the family doctor. What is your complaint? Can I get a closer look? You look worried. When you gaze into the abyss, do you feel A, numb, B, frightened, C, like you want to hold a stranger? If symptoms persist for over 2 weeks, stop gazing into the abyss. But what about you? Do you have an umbilicus? The scar where the umbilical cord was attached, do you have one? I will only speak with physicians who prove it. It means one person once loved you. At least one. I'm an optimist. This next poem is called The Goose Girl. After the painting in the Crawford Art Gallery. Bowl of almost ochre, bag cupped eyes, goose clutched with love, permanent detail. French peasant painted by Irish artist, attended by tourists avoiding low-ceilinged bedrooms and sky-covered crowds. I want to come closer, shared sorrow better than this thin feeling. Not student or tourist, I am the one with the favourite painting, asking after her when she is in storage, regretful buying the gift shop print, hating May decoration out of who I visit. And this last one is called The Burning Mattress. This is life. This is what happens to people. At the risk of sounding desperate and stupid, let me tell you how desperate and stupid I am. I start to stand from the bed before saying amen, for fear of rebuttal. Fuck patience, I want lights, sparks, a burning God-stuffed mattress, smoke of fathers and father figures inking the room and telling, what next? Dramatic like life in the clank of bottles empty of God, godless and begging to be weaponized, hiding their second use until the first fulfilled. God in relief, God in pain, God in surviving. God in the kindness of the morning hand holder. Thank you.
Thanks, James. The next is Cedric. Cedric, if you're still there. Oh, there he is. Cedric.
Long and I could notice that my pronunciation is not necessarily the best, so I'll try harder. Here's the first one. There are two of them and they are kind of long. Not that one. We will be trapped the day we will have to work as hard to die as we must to live. If you look for life, look for the places where things are get destroyed, taken down. Life is a fire. Life is a fierce fire that can transform whatever it touches. It radiates love, passion, anger. Where is life? You will find either of these. Possibly all at the same time. When that happens, do not worry. You are merely alive, thus changing. It is good. Fuel that fire with your very flesh. Do not worry so much about the mess it makes, because when everything is finally tidy and still, your being will have been consumed. There will be no more love left, no patience, no anger. Everything will be in order. That is death. Here's the second one. I love you. A whisper in a lover's ear. The worst of them. Before the tenth moon, your name you hear. It will be once, before many others, you will be called away and back, in and out, and you will hear that sound from a cup, from a shout. It will mean everything to you, a lot more than it ever did to them, because it may mean nothing at all, it is still the crest to your fame. The story of your life has started with it, a story of which you are the hero. The world has brought many unions, have made friends, have made foes. You became used to it, it's only natural, so you take it for granted. You forget that it is to you that sounds you doubt you ever wanted. In others' eyes, now you lose yourself. Neither yours is ever needed, you think. But love for others feeds on love for oneself, or like a corpse, it starts to think. Are you getting now? Where is your love? You yell. You insult, scream, give new ones. You can't remember. You destroy the world you together shared. You blew it to smithereens, particles for later ghetto's remembrance. You cast away your moon. You collapse from your own gravity. You will be given many names, symbol of your own lack of tolerance. Your regrets won't be enough, but crying so is a start. For a story, one, many, in which you will join and part. So, in the name of love, or in your own name, be careful what you say, because your word is a word out there.
Well done, Cedric. And don't worry about the pronunciation. I'm from the north side of Cork. You speak English a hell of a lot better than some of the people I know who've been speaking it from birth, including myself. Charles Mark is next.
Short story. Sorry. One of the few excuses for this is that I probably thought the guy in question, and at least I think I might have known him. A short sentence. Robert Allen arrived home unexpectedly and found his wife in the arms of a friend. He took immediate action. This happened in Canada, where crime passionnel is a mitigating factor in the case of murder. He went to jail for 4 years. His fellow convicts regarded him with a degree of respect. As a graduate of Trinity College Dublin, he was found suitable work in the library. In after years, he settled down to a quiet life. We know nothing of the later life of his wife.
Colin Scully, if he's ready.
Culture me ours. Don't talk to me about culture. There's no culture in Cork. I'll tell you about culture. The Butler Exchange Brass and Reed Band. No, that's culture. There was men played in that who played for royalty. Old James Lear was trained in London. There was one fella, Stapleton. He played for the King of Windsor Palace. There were 7 or 8 bands in Cork at that time. They'd be all they're trying to best each other on Saturday morning in Fitzgerald's Park. Such rivalry, and that's back in the 40s now. And choirs, don't talk to me about that choral festival. Bringing in fellas from abroad. There was great choirs in Cork long before that. I remember up in the North Cathedral, Brother Jerome in a choir, bass, baritones, tenors, whatever you like, Alois Fleischman. He couldn't believe it when he heard him. Stunned he was. Culture night, how are you? Do you know what killed culture in Cork? The Republicans, when they burned down the cathedral at the Opera House. My God, the old Opera House. What a beautiful building. It had a magnificent circular entry out onto any place and a gorgeous stairway up the middle. And the shows, my God, of a Saturday night. Gilbert and Sullivan. The Gondoliers, what a show. You know all about that. Your father, he was in that Gilbert and Sullivan Society. That's not music, but they know it all. Even Sonny Miscellany's got the pot. Gone are the days when you'd hear John McCormack of a morning singing a beautiful melody from Thomas More. Believe me, if all those endearing young charms are the last rose of summer. No, it's all having the Beatles. I wouldn't give you tuppence for it. That's culture for you. They're all culture, no. With their year of culture and their culture day. All you have to do now is pick up a brush and you're an artist. I could tell you about art. James Barry from Audrey Lane. Walked himself up from nothing. Painted the gods. That's what art should be about. Mirroring the heavens. Did you ever see any of his stuff classical? That's what it's all about. Copying the ancients, studying the masters, like St. Mary's and Pope's Quay, or the courthouse. No, that's real architecture. Not like that St. Francis. They ruined that too. Knocked down a beautiful building to that, build that Byzantine thing. What did the Greeks know about architecture? The Italians. That's who we should follow. That's where culture was born. Michelangelo, Da Vinci, Cavarotti. There's no culture in Cork, not anymore. The only culture is in the bar. And that's not right either. I could tell you about bar. A real bar. Made you all wait.
We've all been told now. Derek Darcy.
This is like the second time ever he spoke to a microphone. Forgive me if I fuck up. It's called A Wonder. I wish that I could understand the marvel movement of my hand. I watch my fingers turn and twist, the supple bending of my wrist, the dainty touch of fingertip, the steel intensity of grip. A tool of exquisite design where pride I think it's minus mine. Then there's the wonder of my eyes, where hills and houses, seas and skies, waves of light converge and pass and print themselves as on a glass. Line, form and colour live in me, I am the beauty that I see. I could write a book of size to tell the wonders of my eyes. Oh, but what of the wonders of my heart that play so faithfully its part? I hear it running sound and sweet, it never seems to miss a beat. Between the cradle and the grave, it never falters, stanch and brave. Alas, I wish I had the art to tell the wonders of my heart. Oh, but then how can I explain the wondrous wonders of my brain? That marvellous machine that brings all consciousness of wonderings, it lets me from myself leap out and watch my body walk about. It's hopeless, all my words are vain to tell the wonders of my brain. But do not think, O patient friends, who hears these stanzas to the end, that I myself would glorify, you're just as wonderful as I. Come, let us on the seashore stand and thrill with wonder at a grain of sand, and then into the meadow pass and marvel at a blade of grass, or cast our visions high and far and thrill with wonder at a single star, a host of stars, night's holy tent, huge and glittering in wonderment. If wonder is in great and small, then what of him who made it all? In eyes and brain and heart and limb, let's see the wondrous work of him, in everything from sun to sod, the wonder and the awe of God.
The second time you've ever read?
Yes.
Well, alright, we'll keep doing it then. The last person on our open mic is Conor McManus. Although I would like to add that if you've got any hope. Oh, and him! No, he's off the list. And I already forgot about you. Only because you're forgettable. Before we have Rob and before we have Connor, if there's any see this man is pointing at this. Well, if you would like to read, there's a space available for you. And if anybody would like to read, including, you know, if there's this old poem that they forced you to learn in school, and it's still stuck in your head, knock it out.
Come on. There's time for it yet.
Yeah, amen.
But if that's depending on how it's gonna go, we'll have Connor and then we'll have Rob and then we'll have the others. And Derek can do another one as well.
No. Keep Connor and Rob in the end.
Well, we'll have to have Connor now first anyway, you know? We can't have a gap. And we're back at the band. Thank you.
Ticket. Today, I found a ticket that you bought. Date, time, seat number. And a light blue stripe down one side. I touched where you touched. And the memory of you returns, laughing, searching for your glasses, buttoning up your coat to leave. Thank you.
Rab Urquhart, hailing from Edinburgh, about to blow some ice.
I want to talk about a guy called Benjamin Fondine. He was kind of like Romanian, but he went to France. He lived in France until 1944, where he ended up in Auschwitz, and he was dead. He said this anyway: "Let's talk philosophy if you like. But what do philosophers mean to us? We know well at present what philosophy is, what it was. A laborious gentleman who, in false solitude, searches through distraction or stopgap according to immutable rules of which absence of passion is obligatory. Something for which he has lost all feeling, if he ever had it, to begin with. Imagine the philosopher and his labours. Like an engraving of Paul and Virginie. Lots of dried fruit, mineral water, and chastity. No pressure, nothing troubling him, nothing must trouble him. From outside, if reality asks after me, he says to his valet, tell him I'm having a bath to pass by another day." Fragment of a poem. I will find it eventually. "Certainly, just as you, I was cruel. I had a thirst for tenderness, for power, for gold, for pleasure, and for grief. And yet, no, I was not a man like you. You have not strayed from city to city, tracked by the police. You have not known the disasters at dawn, the cattle trucks, and the bitter sigh of humiliation, of accused of a crime you did not commit, the crime of existing." So, this is your man, and he wrote poetry about the sea. There's a whole kind of like load of poems about the sea, and this is one of them. "It's a voice that cries in the desert, where am I? Yesterday did the ocean, seasickness, and the yearning for earth assailable in the palm, the earth. But today the day moves forward through the fog, breathing. On the bridge the sailors of the fog are themselves lost. No one knows when the bridge starts or finishes. One more stop and it's chaos. The foghorn shudders, drones that cry in the desert. I'm here, I'm here. An echoing answer. I'm here, I'm here. Careful in my life. It's fragile. Oh God, how fragile. And yet, at the same time, full of desire. I lean on my past, nothing. On my future, nothing. I search for you. Where are you? A woman of fog among others. How many such phantoms have I betrayed just to live? I don't know. Their blood flows. When are the living turned to fog? One years to cling to some wreckage, rope, lifeboat, desire, drowned one, here, hope. But the boat moves on, breathing. It's afraid, afraid of life, afraid of itself, not knowing where it comes from, where it's going, a voice that cries. Have you heard how it cries? In the desert?" Oh yes, I have seen a man. Hang on, we'll start again. Oh yes, I have been a man like other men, nourished on bread, dreams, despair. And yes, I have loved, wept, hated, suffered. I have bought flowers, not always paid my debts. On Sundays, I have gone to the country to angle under the eye of God for unreal fishes. I have bathed in the river, which sang the reeds, and eaten fried potatoes in the evening. Later, much later, I have gone to bed, worn out, charged with loneliness, my spirits low, full of pity for myself, full of pity for mankind, searching in vain on the belly of a woman for the impossible peace we have lost. Long ago, in a great meadow in which flourished at the centre the tree of life. And this is the middle of the poem. This is before your man, he tried to live. He said, no, I won't bow to the Nazis. I will live a public life. And then the day came when he was taken. His neighbors shot him. And when Liberation France came, they committed suicide because of their shame. But he was taken, and his sister was taken. And he managed to get a note to his wife, and she informed, like, your man was, what's his name again? I'll tell you. But he was well thought of. You know, he was a really kind of famous guy in the scheme of things in the 40s in Paris. So he was let off. You can go. What about my sister? Nah, she has to go to the Birkenau in Auschwitz. I'm not leaving my sister. So he went to Auschwitz and he died. So, the last verse. But no, however, I was not a man like you. You were not born on the high road. No one threw your little ones into the gutter like stillborn kittens. You never wandered city to city tracked by the police. You never knew the disasters of the dawn and the cattle wagons and the bitter sobs of humiliation.
Thank you, Rob. Rob, who is the author?
Name again?
What's his name?
Benjamin Fondan.
A big round of applause for Benjamin Fondan. We've pretty much come to the end of our list. Unless I've heard talk that Derek might know a few other poems.
I'll do one for the women.
One for the women?
Yeah.
One for the women.
I don't know the name of the poem or the author, but my dad used to say it for years, so I'll give it a go. Timothy Dan was a very rich man who kept all his wealth in his pocket. Two tuppence a box, the keys of two clocks, and the chain of his grandmother's marvellous locket. A big piece of string to the most useful thing. A clock without hands and three rubber bands. Four glassy marbles, some tins of chalk, and a squeaker that once made a gollywog talk. Would you ever believe that the smallest of boys could carry so much in his wee cord rise?